from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to Locked On Chiefs. It is another day, and we have a great show for you. Some things going on in Chiefs Kingdom. Thank you for checking us out today. Make sure you're subscribed. You can do that anywhere you like, at Google Play, at Stitcher, at iTunes, even directly through the Megaphone app if you like. You can get there through our link. You'll find it in our timeline for both at Locked On Chiefs as well as at Ryan Tracy and at Chris Clark. We put it pretty much everywhere. So I am Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your analyst over at Chiefs Digest.
I'm Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com, and you can also find us on iHeartRadio as well.
Oh, I always forget about that one. And managing is right. Chris has to manage me quite a bit. And I just want to give you guys a heads up. I'm sure he will have reviewed it by the time you hear this, because my mock draft version number one goes up on Thursday. That's tomorrow morning by the time you hear this. So give that a look and see what you think. That is specific to the Chiefs. It is every pick that they have currently in their arsenal. And I hope you guys enjoy that. Give me some feedback in the comment section, and let's get talking about this draft.
Now, before you really enjoy this part of it, I know you do.
Part. Yeah, it's my favorite part, and this is where you build teams. So, building teams is one thing, but man, it looks like there could be a wrinkle in maintaining this team coming.
Yeah, you look at what could be happening, and it's possible that Dave Tobe will be gone.
So what happens is Tuesday night, after having been announced that he's taking the Indianapolis Colts job, evidently Josh McDaniels, old McMinny, decided that, hold on a minute, I like Boston. And if you're going to pay me way more than I deserve to be paid and try to give me an opportunity to be here should Coach Belichick decide that it's time to retire, McDaniels has decided that he's going to stay the OC of the Patriots. How shocking is this?
That's pretty shocking, and you would have to be a little disappointed as a Colts fan, although really that opens up a lot of different areas that you could look for, and you have to wonder if this is going to mean the end of Dave Tobe in Kansas City.
Yeah, and that's the wrinkle. Let me just say that it is – really, really rare that you have a candidate accept a job and then go back on his word. I can't say that it stuns me. I think Josh McDaniels is a guy that is more about him than anything else. I lived through his tenure in Denver. I don't think he's head coach material. I don't think he will be. I think calling an offense is his strength, and I think this shows that either he feels that way or there's just such a carrot for taking over the reins in New England that that's really what kept him there. And in the process, you hurt a fan base in Indianapolis. You burn a bridge with Chris Ballard.
And I think you burn a bridge with the entire NFL, to be honest.
And that's a fair point.
I don't think it stops at just Chris Ballard. A lot of people are saying, and I kind of can get where they're coming from, that this is basically him saying that I will be the next head coach of the New England Patriots because you're burning the bridge of getting another opportunity elsewhere.
Yeah, and that's really the only reason you would stay, right? I mean, a head coaching position is the golden goose of this profession. That's what everyone's working toward. Unless you've been there and decided you hate it and you don't want it anymore. But,
right, but then he doesn't accept that job to begin with.
Exactly. And so I agree with you. I think that is something that says he has to feel like that's what's going to happen in the future. Whether it was promised to him or not, I don't know that we'll ever know. But that's got to be what it is because it's strange to see somebody do that. And, in particular – not just because he has ties to Kansas City, but Chris Ballard has a reputation around this league as one of the premier executives. He's a guy that's probably going to be on the competition committee coming down the line. He's a guy that's going to be in a position of power within this league for a long time. And treating him like that, I think, is a mistake for a young guy. But, when you have the power of the Kraft family behind you, maybe you just don't care.
Well, and maybe you think that, you know, you will get that job in New England and that's all you really want. You know, it's a means to an end, I guess. You know, and you have to really wonder how much of this goes back to Kraft being still ticked off about Deflategate.
Yeah, and then that may be part of it. I know there was comments made. I haven't read them myself, so I'm not going to try to repeat them because I'll do it wrong, I'm sure. But, man, I got to tell you, whatever the motivation, it takes a guy like Chris Ballard and makes him have to, you know, go to his second choice. And that's, I think, where you're getting at, that a guy that interviewed very well, supposedly, by all accounts, was Dave Tove. A guy that Chris Ballard knows very well from their time here in Kansas City together. And I have to think that he's got to be the favorite at this point. And granted, folks, this is, you know, an hour after this was announced. So we haven't heard anything else yet, but you may have by the time you're listening to this.
Well, and it's also curious to know, you know, do coaches really care that they're the second choice? I mean,
nope.
It's, well, I don't know that for a fact. I mean, you would think that they wouldn't care, but at the same time, I have to ask the question, is Dave Tobe going to really want the job knowing that he wasn't his first choice?
I don't think it matters. When you get that call, whether you are a second choice or not, we'd like you to be our head coach. I don't think that – it all goes out the window at that point is my guess.
I would agree with that, generally speaking. I think it's an intriguing aspect of something – of a situation where you normally aren't going to have that question.
Yeah, I mean, that's just – wow. And so what that leaves the Chiefs with is a premier special teams coach who we've known has been interviewing and has been on that, you know, riding that fence of one of the guys that is next in line to get a job as a head coach. It leaves us looking at that happening rather quickly. I expect by Wednesday, probably in the afternoon, we'll know one way or the other whether it's something that's in the works or something that's moving towards. And we'll definitely let you guys know. But then that's a shakeup at this point. You know, early February, you'd like to have already had your coaching staff solidified. They've made the moves that they were going to make, elevated a couple of coaches, especially on defense. So that kind of sends you into a flutter. I think Brock Olivio is out there. So maybe that's a perfect combination. Come back to Kansas City if you lose Dave Tope. I'm not sure if he got hired or not. I'm going to look that up right now.
I don't think he has, but, you know, the question becomes, is he going to want to follow Dave Tobe to Indianapolis if Tobe is given the opportunity to bring him?
Again, assistant or here come be our special teams coordinator?
Well, but what I'm saying, he could be the special teams coordinator. I mean, he worked closely with Tobe in Kansas City, went to Denver, didn't do very well in Denver, was released rather quickly. But, you know, with Dave Tobe as the head coach, he's going to have to hire assistants and coordinators. So it's possible he would get an opportunity in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point. I guess I can't assume that Tobe would run the special teams like Andy would run an offense. You know, it's not as easy with special teams to do both the specialty that you came from as well as being the head coach.
Yeah, you can't do that. I don't think you can do that for special teams just because of the intricacies and all the different players you have to work with. I think it takes too much of your time in that aspect. I can't imagine that Tobe's going to be the one doing the special teams.
Yeah. And it's all for naught because I just realized that about a week and a half ago, he got hired by the Bears. So,
oh, well.
He is an assistant there. So if he were offered the coordinator job by Tobe in Indianapolis, he would, I would think by NFL rules, he would be able to take that position. So something to keep an eye on. So in the meantime, it will leave the Chiefs looking for someone to add to their coaching staff and will throw a little bit more of a wrench into what's going on with this offseason. But we will see what comes down the pike.
Yeah, it's always something, isn't it? Well, it's crazy because I actually heard that rumor on Sunday during the Super Bowl. I was like, no way. He's not going to back out. And then he did. So we shall see.
Who does that?
I don't know, yeah. Especially considering going into a pretty good position, you would think, with Andrew Luck being the QB there in the future. So,
yeah, well, it is what it is. We're going to move on here in a second, and let's talk about the Chiefs quarterback situation. obviously, the big news story has happened already, right?
Yeah, Tyler Bray's going to be the starter, right?
Right, right. That's where we're going with that.
Okay.
Good Lord, folks. He's kidding. He's kidding. Relax.
I'm sure I'll hear about that on Twitter.
Right. It's going to happen.
Oh, by the way, I do have to mention real quick before we dive into QBs. It is rumored that Tavon Austin is going to be released by the Rams.
Good for him. If he were an actual receiver, then maybe he wouldn't be in that situation.
Well, I mean, don't you think it'd be funny for Kansas City to actually have Tavon Austin and Tavon Austin Light in Hill?
Oh, the guy that they used to tease about being him? Yeah, okay, fair enough. I see where you're going with that. Yeah, I'm not much of a fan of what he does in the first place.
I wasn't either. I had to go there because I never agreed with that thought process to begin with, so...
It happens.
Back to the QBs and Tyler Bray starting.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
I was just going to get to that. The question is obvious. Chris is obviously being a little tongue in cheek, but that's not really the question. The question is whether Tyler Bray will be on the roster. This is clearly the Pat Mahomes era is beginning at this moment, to the point where it's got to be – he was at the Super Bowl on Radio Row doing interviews after the trade happened with Alex Smith, clearly in possession of the facts that he is what's going to be the future. He is taking over, and that's the role. But here's the question is, who's going to back him up?
Well, I think before we dive into who's going to back him up, I think we need to talk about Pat Mahomes in general. I think we need to take a look at what we think he's going to do this year.
Okay, so we're talking projections. Hit me with what you think.
Honestly, I'm not sure. I could see 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, 10 to 15 interceptions.
Okay, I'm going to take the under. Clearly,
under
what he did in Denver... All. I'm going to be conservative because I think the number one thing that we can do too much is put too much expectation on the kid.
Even on interceptions? You're taking the under on 10.
Let me get to it. No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Not on all. My fault. I misspoke.
Okay.
On all the good ones. Okay. How's that?
I think it's a fair question. I mean...
It is.
Under on all, so I'm just curious. I mean,
the big thing for me is that what we saw in Denver in week 17 is not what we're going to see when Pat Mahomes is running this offense. Clearly, the play call was very similar. More out of the shotgun, yes, but that was a formational substitution for Pat Mahomes. You didn't see things change a whole lot in terms of balance, in terms of where they were trying to target on the field. Obviously, the personnel that was involved was a little bit subpar. Not all the starters were out there. So it's clearly not going to be the same thing. And what did he throw for? 243, was it? Something like that. So I see where you're coming from. In 16 games, you would think that that's 3,500, 4,000 yards. I'm just hoping that because of the emergence of Kareem Hunt and getting Spencer Ware back, that they cannot force it, because while he played well in Denver, you don't want the pressure of him being the starter to become insurmountable for him. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. I think he'll deal with it well, but I'd like to see them focus on balance a little bit more and kind of protect him from himself. Because like you said, as those touchdowns go up, and I'm going to say it's going to be 28, but I think it's going to be closer to 17, 18, 19 interceptions.
Okay, I have to ask the question.
I think it's...
You are saying that you think he's going to throw for less than 220 yards a game.
I'm saying I hope that okay. He does. I don't want them to see them come out throwing 25, 30 times a game, trying to get him 300 yards every game. I think he's capable of it, but I don't want that to become the focus of the offense any more than it already is.
And that's fair. I'm just trying to get an idea of exactly what you're saying, because I just was doing the math.
Yeah. Yeah, and more so this is me trying to not just put that number on it. You're probably right. In reality, I think that's it's something he will eclipse. I'm trying not to put the expectation on him.
You want to be easy on the kid, not expect too much.
I do. I want to be pleasantly surprised when he throws for 300, three or four or five or 10 games in a row. You know, that's kind of where I'm coming
from.
When
he has, you know, three, you know, 50 yard bombs to Tyreek every game, I mean, they add up pretty quick.
Well, and you know, that's going to be the most interesting aspect to me is how often do they come out just letting it loose? Because clearly he can, and clearly Tyreek can, and it changes the whole aspect of how that offense is going to see defenses, because defenses are going to have to play more cover two. They're going to have to play deeper to begin with. You're going to see some four, I'm guessing. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of cover three because it's just I think Tyreek caught people by surprise this season because they didn't expect Alex Smith to go to him deep. There's absolutely no reason not to expect that with Pat Mahomes. Yeah. So I think defenses are going to be
prepared. Especially with the cannon he's got. So,
mm-hmm. And again, I think that helps emphasize Hunt where when he's in Kelsey as well. So I'm just hoping that they can get more balance. I'd like yardage to come up for the running backs, not necessarily Hunt all by himself.
No way! You know a second, you want more runs? That's shocking. Sound right? Are you feeling okay?
Well, and when they draft three fullbacks, you got to use them somehow.
I'm going to shut you off right there.
Folks, that mock draft comes out tomorrow.
And like Ryan said, I am the editor, so it will not come out with three fullbacks.
That is going to be on LockedOnChiefs.com, though. I just want everybody to know that's not over on Digest. That's on our site on LockedOnChiefs.com, and mock draft V1 comes out on Thursday.
All right, so we've talked about Pat Mahomes, kind of got an idea as to where they're going to go from where he could go. Obviously, you don't think Tyler Bray is going to be here. I think he will. I think they've invested a lot in him. Now, whether or not they keep him as a two or a three, that's up in the air, but I think he's still here. If they don't go find somebody that's a veteran that you would really like to have as your backup, I think he's here. I can't imagine that they're going to keep him as a three going forward, but I could be wrong in that regard as well.
Well, and Therese seems to agree with you when I talked to him the other day. And folks, if you missed that, go back and check out Tuesday's show. It's pretty clear that he feels invested in Bray. Therese does, not just the team. So I think you might be right that they bring him back, but I don't see how he can function as your backup.
One game.
Pat Mahomes is going to take chances. Pat Mahomes is going to get hit. And I don't know that you can ride your season on Tyler Bray after the limited exposure we've seen and how well he did or didn't perform in that exposure. I don't know that you can ride your season on him as the backup.
But I think they also are looking at it from a longer perspective, and they don't think that he's going to have the situation that he had. I mean, let's be fair. That was probably the worst situation that he could have put himself in. And granted, he was the one that caused it himself. I'm not saying he wasn't, but I think he's going to be back, and I think he's going to be the backup next year, but we will see. He is a free agent, I believe, so they will have to re-sign him. It'll be intriguing to see what they sign him for.
Yeah, and that's going to be the hard part. The second contract for a quarterback is usually expensive, but I think you're going to find that Tyler Bray probably will test the waters and not find much interest.
Now,
So I don't know that's going to break the
bank. If we go on and we say that Bray's going to be the number two, and I know that we don't necessarily both agree with that, but if we go with that assumption, I can't imagine that they go into the season with Stave as their number three, right?
No.
So
I don't know that he'll even go to camp with them. They need a veteran backup. They need a guy with experience that can be available should your starter go down. And if you have faith in Tyler Bray, that's fine. But I'm just saying that it's not what can happen in reality when you have to win games with the backup.
But and this is the reason why we started off with the QBs, because I think the QBs really can dictate how we look at what Kansas City is planning on doing for next season. you look at what they do with the quarterback position. If they stay with Tyler Bray as their number two and they go get a rookie, that to me tells me that they're not thinking it's a Super Bowl year.
I agree. And there are some interesting guys later in the draft. You can get day two, day three even maybe. I like the kid White out of Western Kentucky. I like what he did against greater competition. You might see him be available. Not something that I did in this draft, this first mock, but you know, obviously an option. But there are names out there. You know, there's going to be somebody that's going to be available. One of those Vikings guys is going to be available. I'll just tell you that. I mean, you have free agents out there with some experience. Honestly,
I really hope they don't go get one of those Vikings guys, because the only Vikings guy I think that would be in their price range is Sam Bradford, and I really don't want Bradford.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. Honestly, the guy that I'm looking for would be Chase Daniel. Played on a one-year contract in New Orleans. He's a free agent again, knows the system, knows the town, knows the coach. At least knows Tyler, doesn't know Pat.
That would make a lot of sense. The thing that would be intriguing to me on that signing is that then that would knock Bray to your number three, which I still just have a hard time believing that they would keep him as their three. Not saying it won't happen, but
I'm with you, but I have to disagree because I think that's all he is. I don't think he's a competent backup.
I'm not saying he's a competent backup or he isn't a competent backup. I'm just saying I don't think that they can keep him as the number three for another year. I think you have to be looking as a number three that you can maybe develop into a solid backup.
Oh, so you mean that because he's spent 5 years, he's clearly not ready to be a backup, that they need to cut bait with him because he's probably not going to develop any farther than he has?
I'm back and forth on that one. I'm right.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It all comes down to what the team thinks, and the problem is you don't know what the team thinks. So,
yeah. I mean, old Kevin Hogan's back out there. You drafted him. You had faith in him at one point. Okay, fair enough. I mean, there's like I said, there's going to be guys available in the draft. There's journeymen out there like Drew Stanton, like you know, Matt Moore is going to be available. You know, as I look down the list, I'm not terribly inspired. You don't want Brock Osweiler.
Wait a second. Matt, I thought Buckley, you liked Brock Osweiler.
I don't know. I did. I still think that his arm is one of the better in this league. I'll put him up against Roethlisberger tomorrow if it's just about throwing the ball as far as you can throw it. But I overestimated how much was between his ears, and it's clear that for what Bill O'Brien was able to do with a rookie quarterback this season that he wasn't able to do with a seasoned quarterback before, that's squarely on Brock Osweiler.
So what you're telling me is that if the Chiefs brought in Brock Osweiler, they could have – probably if they kept Tyler Bray, they would probably have the three quarterbacks with the strongest arms in the NFL. The strongest arm.
Man, if you were building like a mech quarterback, yeah, for sure. That would be impressive. I don't know what you'd call them, but it'd have something to do with the guns and ammo.
Well, that'd be fun to watch at training camp when they do QB competitions as well.
sure.
I know I really enjoyed that part of camp. As goofy as that may sound, it was fun to watch.
So you're of the mind that Chase is a good fit. What about somebody like Derek Anderson?
I could get behind that. I just think Chase is probably the best fit, mainly because he knows the system. He knows the team. He knows Andy Reid. If he doesn't go back to New Orleans, which I can't see him going back to New Orleans unless they get him for cheap, because New Orleans is going to be up against the cap with Drew Brees' contract. So going to be difficult for him to stay there.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a number of journeymen out there as well. I'm sure they'll pick somebody up. I wonder if they just go to a guy on the street or an undrafted free agent. And you're right, they do let Bray be the backup. But just
I have to wonder –
definitely be,
and I have to wonder if they are starting to get to the point where they're going to be drafting a QB every year. I think that's certainly possible. As weird as that may sound,
I think it's possible. Right. It's something that they've mentioned in the past. But we will have to see. Folks, make sure you check out that mock draft. It is out tomorrow on Thursday. We'll have a show with Seth Kaiser as well. So thanks for listening to us today. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter, @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.